Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, April 18th, 2007. The only April 18th, 2007 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this midweek edition of Glenn Klein Online, helping you over the hump, as is our desire. We're glad to have you with us on this particular edition of the GKO webcast, and we want to welcome online the one and only, the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael, how's your day been thus far?
It has been a wonderful day. I can have no complaints, and life is good. And, of course, I've only been around a couple people today, so I guess that makes it good.
So that reminds me of a famous saying in the church from my former Word of Faith pastor, which was, the more I know people, the more I like my dog.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, he used to say that all the time, which I thought was very profound in a lot of ways. And he lived that out, too, I might add.
Uh-huh.
But
very
we're
good pastoral material.
But we're stuck with each other, so we might as well make the best of it.
Yes, we're stuck.
Which is what we want to do, helping you through your Wednesday night, and welcome you to participate in this webcast by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your questions and comments. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And also, we're happy to remind you that we have a second phone line available in studio. You can call and talk to Mike in person tonight. Let's utilize that. You know, we made major sacrifices and efforts to get the second phone line in there. So let's utilize that tonight wherever you're listening around the globe. If you're listening live on the webcast from 9 to 10 o'clock Eastern Time in the U.S. of A. But wherever you're listening from, if you're listening right now, that means you are listening live, and you can call us at area code 813-425-5773. That's 813-425-5773. And the very lovely and talented Patrick L. Jones, our executive producer and director of this broadcast, will take your phone call, and we will get you online with Michael this evening to answer and address all your questions and concern. That phone number again, 813-425-5773. Who will be the first person to utilize that phone number this evening?
Yay.
Michael, we're coming live to our listeners on the heels of this tragic shooting at Virginia Tech, where dozens of people were killed, and we're learning more about the gunman. And when situations like this happen, I was talking to a friend of mine in Colorado today, and this was completely non-connected to the shooting. We were talking about another situation and about another situation that we're aware of personally, and he said, it's great when good things happen to good people. And I said, yeah, but good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people.
This is very true.
When something, from the gospel perspective, when something like Virginia Tech happens, how do we take that in? What sense can we make out of it, if we can, from a gospel perspective?
Well, that's just it. There's parts of life that just don't make sense. The gospel doesn't make sense out of everything. It takes the things that make no sense, and it at least gives you a place in life that you can live with that fact. I don't know of a time in human history that someone's belief system has made everything make sense that happens around them. And as you said, Glenn, this just makes no sense. There's so many things involved, mental illness and things just beyond what we can understand. Even though we were just coming on the broadcast, I was seeing some of the video clips this guy sent in to the news agencies in between the shootings, and it looks like it's going to reveal an awful lot about his mindset. And I didn't catch what the one was he was doing just when I got off. We were just getting online. It was something he was addressing Christians, actually. So I don't know what that was about, but I'll be interested to find out what was in his mind. Of course, the mind of someone like that, I mean, it's hard to take information that you can glean something from, because, you know, once things get to a point where that there's a disconnect with your humanity, to where that you could destroy that humanity and yourself, I don't think there's a whole lot to glean. You know, I know they're going to be going through these things trying to get something out of it, but as far as a gospel perspective, the only thing that you can do is maintain that there is a better life ahead, and that in the gospel, of course, the one thing that this young man is talking about the whole time is the disparity between people, and he feels victimized. And of course, you know, everybody that goes over the top like this always claims to be a victim, and of course, but the thing of it is, we could all be victims should we choose to be, because we've certainly all been victimized, no doubt, in some way. But the gospel really is that stabilizing force that causes the things that don't make sense to not allow life to spin out of control and make us doubt everything.
Well, you know, I do a lot of listening to talk radio and the talk shows on TV. Not only do I enjoy doing it, but I enjoy listening to it. And so many of the callers and the commentators have talked about, and it happens every time something like this happens, they talk about how we've gotten away from eternal values and our God-given principles. But I notice that most of the time when something like this happens, whether it be this situation or 9/11 or Jim Jones, invariably there's a connection to religion.
Yes.
And it's my feeling, and people, of course, don't have a historical perspective. They talk about gun violence, and they forget about how this country was forwarded and progressed to the West through violence, and they think that somehow our morality, you know, they want to go back to what they deem as a better morality, maybe from the 1950s, but then they forget about racism and sexism and
right.
homophobia and the violence that occurred during the civil rights movement. But invariably, and I have not seen this fellow's comments on Christianity, but somewhere along the line, there's a church connection where people went off. And I really feel that a lot of the aberrant behavior, whether it be the violent behavior that we see, or aberrance in any degree, has a religious component to it. In other words, people at some point were put under the paradigm of, if you behave a certain way, God will be happy with you. And if you don't, he will be upset with you. And so when they go over a certain line, they're like, well, I'm here anyway. I might as well go all the way. And I think that more destruction and more carnage has taken place and is currently taking place because of people's religious paradigm than any other thing that you could name as far as pointing to a reason for these things happening.
Yeah, no, that is true. I remember doing some research on that myself many years ago, but on the mass murderers and stuff, and all of them inevitably had some very strong religious connotation to their, especially to their childhood. And it's just like one of the comments that I'd heard this young man saying just now on the news was something to the effect that he was rambling something about Christianity, and then he said that just like Jesus, that all these people were forcing him to go to the cross now to die so that to open up people's eyes and to the plight of the downtrodden, something like that, you know. But obviously he's been exposed to Christianity and obviously never exposed to the gospel. Could it have helped, you know, when it comes to that degree of mental illness? We do know that one thing that is absolutely true, and that is that evangelical Christianity does compound mental illness, and the gospel really does at least help a person not have to go through the guilt and condemnation of religion if the mental illness is present anyway.
No doubt. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. And please check out the gospelrevolution.com website. There's new teachings on there about the faith of God. We won't go into detail about that right now, but you should definitely order that series. It's available online. You can also hear the teaching on attaining perfection. There's an audio clip on the gospelrevolution.com website. Michael just came back from a weekend in the Augusta, Georgia area. How was that?
Augusta, Georgia. Well, Georgia on my mind. I tell you, it was a wonderful experience. I had the pleasure of having four people in the room who at one time had walked out on me in a church.
They came back for more? For more punishment?
They came back for more. And two of those four, I know that there was a couple of them that they were at least there to listen, and I think they, when that couple walked out, they swore they'd never listen to any of this stuff again. But
I think they might have been at our church meeting down here in Tampa.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah,
they were.
I remember they were all torqued off, and it was very unpleasant.
And they were very pleasant here, and listening, and you know, they're really at a crossroads of their belief system for sure. But the other couple, it had been a process in this family, and I believe that it was the son who heard the gospel first, and then his wife, and that was Chris and Lexi, and then now they have four children. They're just small. The father at some point began to listen, and it took a bit of time, but just a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago or so, he, you know, came on board, and the wife just would not have any part of it at all. And but then the father and the son got together and asked Mom if she would listen to just one tape series and just to be open to it. And so they gave her the series, The Great High Priest. And she told me while I was there, she said that she listened to that series 11 times. And that's a lot of listening. And I will never forget, as I was teaching on the, because the question had come up, and we were talking about the end time doctrines, and so it came up, and it was just like, before I could get to it, and I said, well, you know, John, it's normally attributed that John wrote the book of Revelation, or wrote it down, his revelation on the Isle of Patmos, but that really is not correct. It says that, and of course she had heard so much teaching, you know, through Hebrews about the Lord's Day and everything, and I just started to quote that that John said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Oh my gosh! It was just tears just started flowing. It was so beautiful.
Because she realized it wasn't on Sunday.
She realized it wasn't on Sunday, and it didn't happen on the Isle of Patmos, and it wasn't on the Sabbath, and it was John and standing in front of the cross on the Lord's Day, according to the prophets he was quoting, which was the day that Jesus died on the cross. And, man, it just clicked, and it was almost like you could feel, you know, something sweep through the room, you know, from the intensity of that revelation. And
that wasn't the only revelation that somebody got there. You had one gentleman that was there.
Yes.
That you told me had been spending the last 3 years confessing his sins every night, trying to get that out and off of his chest and off of his heart.
Yeah.
And he realized, well explain the very briefly the teaching that uncovered to him that he did not need to do that anymore.
Well, we started, we got into Hebrews, and we just, and one of the questions that came up, and I read in Hebrews where it talked about the blood of the goat and that it was offered once a year, and then that they confess their sins once a year. And man, you talk about the nickel dropping for that guy. I mean, what a beautiful thing. And he started running ahead of me on the teaching. You know how I will quote something to try to articulate the way Paul did and quote something, you know, that is not the truth but commonly believed, but then follow up and explain why that isn't the truth. But he was so excited by that time, every time I would make one of these statements, he'd say, but that's a lie. But that's a lie, because Jesus died, and if the blood of a goat, and I mean, it was so precious to be in that room with those people. And now the entire family there, the Myers that invited me to come back, their daughter and then their son-in-law, and their son and his wife, and now the father and the mother and the grandparents and the grandkids, everybody are gospel believers now. So they realize that their social structure is probably going to change pretty rapidly. But like they said, you know, what else could you hope for any more than having the whole family together believing the gospel? Because Amen. As one of them pointed out, you know, if just one person in the family, a husband or a wife, gets this, this has got to be difficult. And I said, well, yes. But fortunately, in cases where somebody actually believes the gospel, they can actually free their mate to be as legalistic as they want to be. And
Whoa. That is an awesome statement, and I've never heard you quite put it that way. Wait, say that again. If somebody in the family, one person, gets the gospel, then what happens?
Well, if one person really receives the gospel, they can free their mate to be as legalistic as they want to be.
Wow.
And but the legalist cannot free their partner to be to walk in grace. And that's the reason that the walk in grace is more powerful, because they can free the legalist to be a legalist if they want to be.
And eventually, what we have seen, ladies and gentlemen, time and time again in hundreds of cases, is that that person that is freed to be as legalistic as they want to be eventually comes around, because love does not fail, Michael.
No, it's very, very true.
It's irresistible.
Yes, no, it's very true. We just had a situation in with my friend here that's a pastor, and is just very, very powerful the way it was dealt with. And but there was no return to the person of any judgment, or which, you know, they were fully expecting, you know, that to happen, and just the opposite did. And it was quite amazing.
This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Michael Williams of that Freeing Gospel Revolution. We have a news alert here at the Glenn Klein Online webcast. We now have a toll-free number, Michael. I've just been handed a note from Patrick. People can call toll-free. There's no excuse now for you not to get on the phone right now and call with your questions or comments. Call us toll-free at 1-800-436-3260. That's the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline, 1-800-436-3250. No, is it 3260, Patty? 43, I can't read his writing. 436, no, it is.
Coming so fast.
No, what, is that 3260?
Yes.
Okay, correction, it's 800-436-3260.
No wonder we're not getting any calls.
If you call and you get an adult hotline at 3250, please extend my apologies. It's 1-800-436-3260. Once again, 1-800-436-3260. That's good in the United States and the great nation of Canada. Speaking of Canada, let's get to our first question tonight. This is from Paul Johnson in Canada. He says, Michael, the following is a quote from the website. It says, spending many years as one of the most popular circuit speakers and pastors in the so-called Word of Faith or Charismatic movement, Mike began wondering about the questionable doctrines he was proclaiming from the very pulpits that welcomed him to spread their brand of religion. This is Paul's question, Mike. Since you spent years in that movement and are now out of it, you must have been convinced that the teaching was not correct. If that is the case, do you have a tape or a teaching on the errors of the Word of Faith movement? I have searched the website and found much, but there is not a lot that seems to be Bible versus the Word of Faith teaching. Lots of quotes and opinions, but no hard evidence. What is there that can answer this need? That's from Paul from Canada.
Well, we do. We have one entitled Healing Word of Faith Disappointments. However, there is a lot of hard evidence in all of the tapes, especially some of the older ones, because it was the comparison to the doctrine that I believe compared to the gospel that I taught my way out of that paper bag, if you will. So while, you know, I've never sat down and said, okay, we're going to do a seminar about the Word of Faith movement, virtually all of the older tapes, because I remember some of the people spoke up who were not raised in the Word of Faith movement and told me that my comparisons were irrelevant to them because they didn't even know that doctrine anyway. So, you know, the tapes really are threaded and filled with those comparisons, and we do bring hard evidence. We do show where that they are taken out of context. And with all the verses, even Mark 11, 22, and 23, all of those are addressed in all of the tapes. But specifically, we did address the healing of Word of Faith disappointment.
You know, with so many denominations, I mean, there's like 50,000 Christian denominations out there. Based on what you know, Michael, do you think the Word of Faith movement is as off as it gets?
Oh, well, you know, if according to Paul's teaching, you know, one law is you might as well have them all. It's not the most dangerous doctrine out there. I don't believe it's certainly not the healthiest. It is the most manipulative, I believe, that I have ever encountered. It is terribly, terribly manipulative and appeals to, I believe, appeals to our most base instincts rather than the God that is within us, especially now. You know, the entire Word of Faith movement has totally, totally reinvented itself now as the prosperity movement, which, you know, the Word of Faith movement didn't always, all of it, contain the prosperity gospel, because a lot of the Word of Faith guys just did not agree with the prosperity gospel. But now all of these mega churches that are springing up, and a lot of them are not even charismatic or Word of Faith, but all of them are the prosperity gospel.
Right.
And it's the promises of riches that are filling the churches. It's just, you know, you see the mega church, and you're going to hear the teaching that if you give to the church, and if you do this and you follow that, I mean, they're very charismatic about
money.
Presenting it. Yes, and saying, you know, this is the way it is, and the reason you see other BMWs parked in the parking lot is because they give to this ministry.
Talk about the same gentleman you were referencing earlier about the kind of condemnation that he was on vis-a-vis talents. This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. He was told that... if he didn't give his talent, as in playing his guitar, for the gospel, they made reference to the parable of the talents and said it was very clear that if you didn't give your talent to the Lord, your skills to the Lord, that God would take everything away from you.
But what does talents mean it actually in that biblical reference?
Well, it's dealing with money.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do, but these people are so ignorant that they don't even know the difference between when that just because it says a talent, that it's not talent. It was their money during that time. But to use it to condemn somebody, to say that you got, but I remember Norval Hayes doing that, you know, and quoting those verses and telling people they got to use their talent, you know, for God, because that's exactly what Jesus said.
And this guy loves rock and roll music.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And so he was being told by his pastor, if you don't use, see, when they say the Lord, they really mean their local church.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's a representation of God in their local community.
Yes, because he certainly wouldn't be encouraging him to go play for somebody else's church, that's for sure. So, but no, yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
it really gets bad.
And I'm of the belief that the Word of Faith movement is the most extreme form of manipulation and danger in Christianity. That's my opinion, because you can the group that is gathering the most people has the most intensity and the most momentum behind it, and the momentum is not the gospel. The momentum is manipulation and condemnation and guilt and fear, and there's not a religious movement in Christianity that is pouring more of that kind of recipe into their messages than the Word of Faith movement around the planet, and that's why they're having so much so-called success. Remember what Jesus did. He'd gather a group, and a large group, thousands of people, and then he lay the law on them the way it was intended to be preached, and they would all leave.
Yes.
And so when people are being gathered in large numbers, I remember when we took over and became part of this one church, before you came in and talked, Michael, there was all kinds of excitement. I mean, because we were seeing a lot of momentum and a lot of so-called signs and wonders. But then when I stayed with the gospel, though, and they all left. And then we had a small group that came and heard you. And then when that happened, of course, the whole thing fell apart. one of the ways...
Thankful pastor.
One of the ways that you know that the gospel is having its intended effect is when people are free to come and go as they please.
Yes.
And they're not under any obligation to show up or to give their money.
Absolutely. Yeah, any time that begins to be a part of it, it's definitely going downhill from there, you know, the obligation or promise of reward, you know. Goodness. You know, it just—you just can't go there. I certainly believe in giving, and but the whole issue of sowing and reaping is, when it comes to money, is so taken out of context that it just can't be taught as a gospel principle.
No, and anything that when they're obviously we ask people to give all the time into this effort. But we don't believe that you're going to get any money back directly because of that effort or that giving. What we are asking is that you will get a good feeling knowing that you are furthering the gospel. We believe that.
And I do believe that out of a giving heart, it can open you up to be more aware of opportunity. I mean, for sure, a stingy heart would not venture out to take risk and investment or anything like that. A stingy heart's not going to do that.
Right.
I think, but a giving heart, I think, is more. There's a greater likelihood that a person who has a giving heart is going to be more open to successful ideas and progressing in their life.
Because that's the place that they live.
Yes, absolutely. It's not something they do. It's what they live out.
1-800-436-3260, that's the toll-free number. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can talk to Mike directly if you're listening live right now. 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. 3260. We got lots of emails to get through, but we'd like to hear from you live tonight on line number two that we just put in last week. So 800-436-3260 is the number.
Everybody's waiting to get their emails answered first.
All right, well, we'll get through that. You know, one of the things...
Cut them off.
One of the things that the Word of Faith movement has done is co-opt the Holy Spirit into their movement. And Faye from Oregon asks, how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives today? The Bible says that He will lead us into all truth, but how does that actually occur? Is it possible that He also works through our own natural instincts, emotions, etc.? I believe so, but I'd love to hear your views, Mike and Glenn. That's Faye from Oregon.
Well, I couldn't say it better, Faye. I think that's true. And to try to, you know, if I could tell you how the Holy Spirit does anything, how He does it, it would not be the Holy Spirit. So, but I really do believe in the involvement of the Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit as the great teacher. I believe He is the great teacher. The Holy Spirit, though, in the involvement in communication, inspiration, power, whatever that might be, giftings, whatever those things bring about, I believe is the activity of the Holy Spirit in the earth today. Now, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is so all-encompassing that all of the languages of this earth, all of the cultures and their expressions, the different faces on the planet, the different fingerprints on this planet, the different species, the different weather patterns, the difference between air and water and land, and every expression you can think of would only be a thimbleful of the ability that the Holy Spirit has to communicate and work through human beings. Now, I admit my ignorance of the Holy Spirit, but I delight in my ignorance of Him because it is my ignorance of Him that that gives me the ability to comprehend the vastness of possibilities of His involvement in human life.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I say I know the Holy Spirit is a great teacher, and I do because I do know that teaching ability, I do understand that, and I have personal experience with that, and it's tangible. I don't know what it is about the Holy Spirit, but when the Holy Spirit is active, let me say, when we become aware of the activity of the Holy Spirit, it's like it's tangible. There's a texture to it. There is a feeling, and I think those feelings and emotions that we have, you know, if we had identified those as possibly being the work of the Holy Spirit in our earlier lives, we might have been able to deal with our emotions and things a little bit better. Now, I'm not one who sits back and tries to decide and, you know, in every feeling and emotion that I have. In fact, I don't try to decide anything about any of them. But I do try to follow my heart. And I do believe that my heart is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So, but see, under evangelical Christianity, we were told not to obey our heart, so we went around trying to follow voices in our head, you know, and trying to hear God, you know, hear the voice of God. Well, I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of God, but I do know that the work of the Holy Spirit can inspire me in directions and make me aware of things. But control, here's the thing that I want to get across in this. The Holy Spirit will never take control of your life or you. He doesn't want control. It is so stupid for any ministry or minister to tell you to give control to the Holy Spirit, that He wants control over your life, when one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the manifestations of the Spirit, is self-control. You see, the Holy Spirit is not going to take control. God doesn't want control when one of the manifestations of the Spirit is self-control.
And you can trust your heart when the gospel has permeated your heart because,
absolutely,
because the gospel is a stabilizing force.
It is stabilizing. It is, it's not only stabilizing, but it makes you alert and aware of what life is. And you know life when you see it, and you know death when you see it. Now, it may look different once you know the gospel. And where you thought you were hearing life come out of a TV preacher, once you know the gospel, it's like, oh my God, that's death.
And it also makes you a more giving and loving person. I mean, I could have, I'd have no problem going out and having a beer with T.D. Jakes or Pat Robertson or, you know, my former pastors or whatever. You know, I mean, I would love to sit down and.
I just got a picture of you and Pat Robertson having a beer together.
you know, he'd love it.
I know he would.
You know,
and I think you should invite him, Glenn.
For a gospel beer. In fact, there is a brew that comes out of Israel. It's called the Hebrew.
Yeah.
And we got to get some of our more creative folks on this. A gospel wine, you know. Water turned into wine.
There you go.
We got a call coming in, so we want to get to some more emails before we get to that call. But we've got a great letter from Chad Bryant from the Calgary area. He says, "Hi, I donated $25 U.S. funds to your fund. It may not be a lot, but I'm a Canadian, so that is like $946.53 for me."
Yes.
He says, "Just kidding." He says, "Mike, I really appreciate the gospel you teach because it is a true and only gospel. A lot of my family members, including my mom and the grandparents, think I'm following Antichrist doctrine. I find it odd that they think that the good news of grace and peace to all people everywhere is Antichrist. Oh, well, if they don't get it here, I'll tell them that I told you so in heaven."
There you go.
Seriously, though, thank you, Mike and Glenn. I'm 21. And for the first time in my life, I can agree with what my heart has always known. Jesus did it all for everybody, and humanity has been made permanently perfect in the eyes of God. I love you. And then he signs it, the Holy and Righteous, Chad
Bryant.
There
you go. Now that is a work of the Holy Spirit, beyond the shadow of a doubt.
And following that up with reading his email from last week, here he is, Chad from Alberta. Chad, you are online with Glenn Klein and Michael Williams. How you doing, Chad?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderfully. Great letter, brother, and thank you for participating through your donations. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. If I had more, I'd give it right now. I'm kind of doing a 21-year-old youth thing, just going job to job, doing whatever right now, but... Yeah, when I start getting a steady income stream, probably
will
be going to you guys.
Well, you know, Chad, if you gave more money, there'd probably be more money coming into you. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
No. I was just fooling there.
Tenfold, right, or hundredfold, whatever
it is. It's a thousandfold, brother.
Oh, right.
A million.
You can fold it as many times as you want.
A millionfold into this effort.
Oh, cool.
we appreciate it too.
I'll rack up my credit card, I think. Yeah, I just heard you guys read that letter there right after I called you, so that's cool. You guys, you're so important to the world, I think. You guys are doing an awesome job, and if I could just email every church try to get them to listen to you guys, that's whatever. Mike, if you need an apprentice, I'm your guy.
I appreciate it.
Chad, you're coming up to the Calgary conference, right?
Yeah, I was wondering your website doesn't have the updated information on there yet.
Yeah, if you go to the website at gospelrevolution.com, there is information there.
there's that should be more obvious if he's not seeing.
Well,
this
I'm
not sure that.
Well, he's 21, Michael. Let's remember that.
Yeah, maybe I'm just getting lazy.
All right, I'm going to the website as we speak.
All right.
And if you page down on the homepage, it says you're right. It's not on there.
Well, you know, it was.
It was on there.
It says
see there, we should listen to 21-year-olds.
Oh, you know what? Chad, I repent.
Yes.
All right,
repent,
well,
you sinner.
You
yeah.
You got something to write with?
Yeah. Just,
all right, I'm going to give out the phone number to everybody who either is interested or can be in the Calgary, Alberta area on June 4th through the 6th. That's the date of the Grace Conference in Calgary.
The June or May?
Excuse me, May. Chad, thank you. You know, we need you on here every week, but brother,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
Yeah, keep us up to date.
Yeah, it is May.
On where I'm going.
it's May 4th, 5th, and 6th in Calgary.
All right.
Carriage
House Inn.
It's going to take place at the Carriage House Inn, exactly. And the contact information is Al Bernice Ramsden Wood. That's Al Bernice Wood at 403-256-2163. Excuse me, 403-256-2163. That's Al and Bernice's phone number.
Okay.
And the phone number at the Carriage House, if you need accommodations, is 403-253-1101. 403-253-1101. And when you call, mention the Grace Conference. And they've got a discounted room rate.
And let me also say this. I don't want to undermine the Carriage House, but our good friend Richard Mull out in California, who is flying up from California to be a part of the meeting, I think that the Carriage House is offering a discounted room. It's a very nice hotel. Discounted rooms at $101. But I think Richard got on Orbitz or something like that and got a room for $85. So,
sweet.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll online leave, first. You can always get things cheaper online.
That'll leave some more money to give into the Gospel Revolution effort.
Yay.
Exactly.
Chad, we cannot wait to meet you up there, and thanks so much for participating, brother.
Yeah,
yes.
I can't wait to meet you guys there, too. So
all right.
I'll talk to you guys there.
Stay locked on.
I'll see you then.
That's Chad from Canada. And now our toll-free line is available for you at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. I don't know what happened to that information. It was on there, Mark.
It was on there, yes. Because I got on there the other day to make sure that everything was static.
Yeah.
And it was there.
We're gonna
and
have
all
to
the information was correct.
Get in touch with Timmy Pruitt, our esteemed webmaster.
Yes.
And we will be in touch with him to update that. But now you guys have that information. Plus, the email we sent out today had that information as well. This question, Michael, and comment comes from Michael Foster, who's writing from Columbia, Pennsylvania. He says, Mike, just as soon as you know when you restart the GRIP program, which is our Gospel Revolution Point Person program, let me know. I'd love to get in touch in the North and Southeast Coast areas, actually, wherever you like. This brings up a good point because we had another email tonight from the Cleveland area, from Laura, who also is interested in getting involved with the Gospel Revolution Point Person Program, the GRIP program. If you want to help with this, let us know by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Michael, there is such a yearning out there for people of like-minded faith, of like-minded belief in this gospel, to know that they're out there and they're communicating. And something that we need to let people know is we are planning a Gospel Revolution convocation, a convention, if you will, and the details have not even started to be hashed out yet, but that's going to happen in the future. When there's an opportunity, we'll give everybody way heads up so that you know where it's going to be, when it's going to be, how much it's going to cost, you can make your plans. We are going to get everybody together who wants to come, and there's something about getting around gospel folks. I mean, it's so freeing, it's so wonderful, and we are going to do that.
Yes, we are. And any time that we've done that, I mean, we've had to let things, you know, stabilize and gel and grow just a bit. But we really are ready to take on another one of these conferences, and I think this is going to be quite successful in the terms of people being able to get in and enjoy the gospel, and we'll find more direction as to where we're going with all of this.
Exactly, and you know, just be patient with us, and you know, that's a good quality. Patience is a good quality.
It is, especially if it's for us.
We want to thank Kay from Virginia for being patient. Kay, you are online with Michael Williams and Glenn Klein. How are you on this Wednesday evening?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you all doing?
We're doing wonderfully.
Doing great.
Good. Well, I just had a really quick question for you, Mike. I just have heard a lot of your teaching talks about, like, you know, without sin, there's no sin, there's no, oh man, I lost it.
Where there is no law, there is no transgression.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know what it is. The question I have is, I think I had heard you say at one point, too, there basically isn't even any hell either, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if there is no law, and there is no transgression, and there is no hell, is there a heaven?
Good question.
Good question. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling. What we're going to answer, just go back to listen to your computer, okay, honey?
Okay.
That's a great question. If there's no hell and there's no transgression because the law has been done away with, is there a heaven? That's a great question.
Well, had the one who did away with the law and hell not have mentioned that his abode was heaven, I could probably go there, which I know people who have kind of erased everything, but it's like I can't let go of the fact that the Jesus who freed us from the sin and freed us from the hell had a place that he was going. So the one who freed us from the law and freed us from eternal judgment said that we were going to be together forever. So whatever that is. Now, the one thing that I can tell you that I don't know about, I know less about heaven than I do about the Holy Spirit. So, but I'm sure that it's something that we can all look forward to. But it's not something that we have to look forward to so much that we can't enjoy this life. That's the incredible thing about this gospel. While it takes away the threat of hell, it doesn't... at least it doesn't leave you wishing that this life is over with so you can go to heaven. Now, there are times, believe me, there's days, you know, when you get stuck out in traffic, at the spur of the moment you just might wish that you were there than here.
Well, and you think you might be in at least purgatory.
Yes,
they're in traffic.
Yes, and they tell me that here in Houston there's going to be a summertime that is going to be quite tragic from what I hear. So, but anyway, the issue of heaven, I would have to, if I were to say that I did not believe there's a heaven simply because there's no law and there's no sin and there's no hell, then I would have to say that the one by whom I had that revealed has no home. So no, I don't go there. I do believe that there is an eternal place in God, and I do believe that that has been referred to as heaven. I don't know what it's like. I haven't a clue, and I really don't particularly believe anyone's account who says they've been there. I do have some personal friends who have claimed to have done that, but nonetheless, I can't take somebody's word for it. I'm going to have to see it myself. But I do believe that I will, and I believe that I will experience. In fact, I think we're all going to experience.
Yes, we believe that because of the blood of Jesus, that all humanity, whether it be the victims of this shooting at Virginia Tech this week, or the actual shooter. that perpetrated that crime, they end up going to this place of eternal peace with God. And Michael, we cannot discount the research, and there's been voluminous research on people that have had near-death experiences that almost invariably, regardless of their belief system, experience some sense of eternal joy and
yes.
peace and tranquility, going towards a light, coming face-to-face with, Jesus called himself the light, and we can't discount that. There's something that happens when we leave our bodies that is transforming. And for those who have not experienced Christ in this earth, when you come face-to-face with that light and with that sense of forgiveness and pureness and holiness, salvation occurs. There is an acknowledgement of the Lord. And some of us, a few of us, relatively speaking, on the earth, get a sense of that here. Paul called it a vision of through a glass that is dark. We just have a foretaste of that which is coming. But we do believe in that, don't we? We do believe
yes,
it's an
I
eternal
certainly
peace.
Do.
Yeah, and
you
so
know,
do I.
I just, but you've got, again, you've got to understand that I am a hardcore Jesus man. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God the Creator. I believe in the Scriptures. I believe in the Creator and the creation and the life, the virgin birth of Jesus. I do believe that. I believe in his teaching ministry. How accurately it is recorded is virtually irrelevant because the work of Jesus, it was not made manifest in his teaching. It was made manifest in his sacrifice for sin. And if nothing was written, the reason that those things were written was to give us a clue as to what was happening, I think. And I never will forget realizing that there was no salvation in the teachings of Jesus. But the fact that the salvation was in the death, burial, and resurrection, and most people try to go through his teachings to experience God, and that's not where the experience is. The experience is in the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection. So I believe all of that. So yes, heaven is very much a part of my belief system, and yes, I do look forward to seeing my mom again. I was 14 years old when she passed away, and I still feel her life. You know, it was just way too real to just be gone. You know, it just, and that's just my human experience. But from a standpoint of, you know, who I believe God to be and who I believe Jesus to be, I most certainly believe that we have an eternal place with God.
Thank you, Kay, from Virginia, calling tonight on the toll-free Glenn Klein hotline. It's 800-436-3260. There's still a little under 10 minutes to go on this particular webcast. If you're listening right now, give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. We got an email this week from Robert, Michael, that said, Glenn, I missed the show last night and I've been trying to catch it on the archives. Please hurry. I need a fix. That was from Robert. And, you know, for those that listen on the archives, it usually takes about 24 hours for us to get the webcast online in an archive form. But just be patient with us. And we're very.
It gets done pretty quick, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're pretty diligent about that, and it's like anything else. These things take time, but if you can listen online when we're live, that's great. Otherwise, it's available to you at your convenience. And then Robert followed up with this comment after he listened to the archive. He said, "Glenn, the program was great. It's gotten to the point now where I don't want to miss it. He said, I was out of town last year and got you on TV. You had Jonathan Edwards on. I'm a little skeptical of that kind of thing. Enlighten me. What are your feelings and why? Also, I've been gotten your attention, and you are a life coach. Most life coaches teach on the law of attraction, which I'm looking at right now. What is your opinion of the law of attraction? Well, Robert, that wasn't me, first of all. but it could have been. I'd be happy to interview Jonathan. Jonathan Edwards, Michael, teaches that you can contact those from the dead.
I do know. Yes.
And what do you think about that? What do you think about guys that try to conjure up communication from people that have gone to the other side?
Well, you know, let me just say I don't believe it. I think there's a lot of playing on emotions, and you know, I remember things like that going on in the charismatic movement. You know, you remember the little boy that they just recovered just a few months ago, because he had been gone for like 5 years, and then they found the guy because he kidnapped another 15-year-old boy.
Right.
Well, one of the ladies, the lady that Montel has on all the time, had that mother of that child had been in front of that woman and asked about her child who had been kidnapped, and she said, "Oh, honey," says, he's already gone over to the other side, and they found the kid alive, and you know, she was talking to the kid, and you know, the kid told her, you know, "Well, I want you to be at peace. I'm okay, and you know, I didn't suffer, and blah blah blah," because nobody was ever recovered. So there may be on an occasion that there might be some insight, but it's so twisted into some other form that I don't have any time for it or patience for it, because it is at such an emotional expense for the people
mm-hmm.
who follow after that.
Listen, it's possible. Anything's possible, nor would we ever condemn people that are engaged in that sort of thing to a separation from God, or that they're into demonic type stuff, because we can't
it's
do that.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's people stuff, exactly. Yeah. And you know, you've got to search that out for yourself. I have a tendency to think that just like anything's possible, it's possible. Just like Michael was saying that he's never experienced heaven, I've never experienced anything like this with people that have gone before us. Not that it's not possible, but what this program and this effort is about is focusing on what we do know, which is that Jesus died for the sin of the world, and that because of that, whenever death does overtake this body, that everybody has been redeemed from sin, and that everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody, will enjoy the blessings of the blood of Christ.
Well, one of the things that the guys who claim to talk to all these people have certainly never talked to one of them, it's been in hell anyway.
Point well taken. this letter comes to us from our friend Brian in Dublin, Ireland. He says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. I've been enjoying the webcast. Here's a question for you, Michael. Christians will assert to skeptics that over 500 people at one time saw the resurrection of Jesus based on 1 Corinthians 15:6. Where did that event take place, and why isn't it recorded by any other New Testament writers? This seems to be the only mention of it, and surely something like this would have been monumental and known and spoken of throughout Israel. Any ideas why there is no geographical location mentioned in the names of anyone involved?" That's Brian from Dublin.
I haven't a clue. It is either true or it's not true. But it is irrelevant as to whether or not that particular incident took place or not. Would it have been above one of the writers of the New Testament to try to validate something by making a statement like that? I think it's possible that someone could have got overzealous Do I think it could have happened that he was seen by more than 500 people during the time that he was in his resurrected form here on earth for 40 days, if I remember my Bible history correctly? I think that's quite possible, and in fact, more than probable. If Jesus being in the form, if he showed himself to 12, for sure, I don't know why he would have not possibly been seen by many others. We know he was seen by the 12. We know that he was seen by Mary Magdalene. So it seemed like that there was no particular issue about qualification.
What about, Michael, the disciples, all of whom went to horrific depths, without denying Christ after they saw him in the resurrection? Historically, we know this to be accurate, that these guys were brutally killed without denying Jesus. Something must have happened to the ones that were denying him at the cross and yet went to the death refusing to deny him.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not sure what your point was.
Well, I mean, you know, if somebody was putting a gun to my head and said, I'm going to blow your brains out unless you deny Christ right now, I don't know what I would do, to be quite frank and honest.
Right.
But something must have been dramatic that happened to these guys that were so scared that they wouldn't even acknowledge Jesus when he was hanging there on the cross, like Peter.
Yes, I see. Yeah. How did they go from being such cowards that they denied him to going through such brutality and not denying him at all. Something happened to them, that's for sure.
They at least must have seen him again.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think they would have died for somebody that was dead.
Yeah. and somebody that they had not had a massively profound effect on their lives to that degree. The only thing I could compare it to is if they asked me to deny or to sacrifice my own children, who I've lived with and I've loved and I've been a part of their lives, or my wife. Something must have happened to them dramatically to change their modus operandi from being very cowardly and denying him to refusing to deny him to their death.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful stuff.
It is powerful stuff, and you know, one of the things that that we dealt with also during the teaching is, you know, the end time doctrines. You know, what are you going to do? I remember in the Baptist Church years before I got involved in charismatic movement as just a young, very young man. They actually took us through at the Baptist Church a drill of what are you going to do when they've got the gun to your head. You know, will you deny Christ and die and go to hell, or will you let them kill you? And the youth teacher that we had actually took us through a mock drill. You know that
really?
Absolutely. And so that we'd be prepared for it, because at the time it was, you know, Jesus was coming back and it was inevitably going to happen to us. That we would be held hostage someplace and forced to deny Jesus or be killed.
What if that, just for the sake of argument, happened to you right now, and they said, okay, we're going to blow your brains out right now unless you verbally say, I deny Jesus and the work of the cross. What would you do?
Well, there would be a totally different motive for me not denying it, and that would be personal conviction. Over fear that I was going to go to hell. And that's the thing that I would like to clarify. You know, I don't know what I would do. But I do know that if I made a stand for the gospel, it would be out of a strength that I am currently unaware of that I have.
Right, and I think, you know, a lot of people, getting back to this Virginia Tech situation, criticized the people that were directly in the line of fire and said, how could people not tackle him? Or you don't know what you're going to do. until you're in a situation like that.
Oh, absolutely. You don't know. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know. I mean, there were people who did evidently try to make some. I mean, you know, he had from the videos of him, he had a gun in each hand, firing with both guns. I mean, that's blazing guns for sure. I mean, it's hard to tackle anything. So I don't know what I would do. But the one thing that I was very glad to say that I would be free to deny Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would have to deal with that in my own personal life. But you know, to think that there was a consequence from God. Now, if it were my children, if somebody had my children at gunpoint, believe me, I think that Jesus would say, deny me for right now. You know, go ahead, tell them you don't know me at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for one of my children, I'm not going to sacrifice my children for a creed or even a belief because I couldn't do it. You know, knowing that my denial would have no consequence with God.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing we can definitively say, is that we know regardless of what action or inaction we would take, it would have absolutely no effect of how God would see us or anybody else in that situation.
So before we ever get to that situation, what we're wanting everyone to know, if we ever should get to that situation, is that it is your choice. That's for sure. But, you know, for God's sake, don't wind up in a situation like that. Because I think, you know, Cleobolt and those guys out in Denver, some of the kids, they challenged them, you know, about their belief in Jesus.
Yes.
And, but, you know.
At Columbine.
Yes, at Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
And, so before you ever get there, at least know and understand that there is no consequence with God should you do that.
It's a pretty tough way to end the webcast, but I like when the rubber meets the road, you know?
Yes,
and
it does. You know, the fact is exactly what you said, though, Glenn. We really don't know what we would do until we're in the situation. And thank God I don't have to go around thinking about it.
Right. It's not a concern. We don't have to have seminars about it. What we do need to have seminars about is the continuing understanding of the revelation of the gospel. And as Mike just did last weekend in the Augusta, Georgia area, and he's going to do in the Calgary area coming up in early May, you can also have Mike come to your area. Just go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on Invite Mike, and you'll get all the information and groups large or small. I think you said, Michael, that you had about 10 people there all weekend.
Yes, I think the max was 9,
and it was beautiful, right?
Magnificent, magnificent. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
So don't think that just because you have a small group of people or just your family, that Mike's not willing and very desirous of coming to your community, because he is. And we are also, of course, encouraging you, as always, to contemplate what you can do on a monthly basis financially for this effort. You can make donations online, one-time donations or CD orders at gospelrevolution.com. And stay tuned to that webcast. Log on a frequent basis for updates on upcoming meetings and on this particular program. Mikey, thank you so much. We love you. It was a great time, as always.
Love you, too, and everyone listening, and even those who were too lazy to listen, we love you, too.
Thank you to everybody who's involved in this effort, and to Patrick Jones for producing and engineering this webcast. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.